Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see some people in church this morning. I know we can't have too many, but it's really nice to see a few more in church. See some faces, familiar faces that we haven't seen for a long time. God has blessed us with a beautiful morning and with health and sunshine. For the ones that are listening online, welcome as well, and out in the parking lot. I'm Robert Hebert, speaking this morning, deacon from this church. I want to open with Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The world that we live in today has been for forever, started in Adam and Eve, that temptation was around. Satan was always very willing and eager to tempt us in any way and situation that he could, because he wanted us on his side to take us away from God. So here it states in Matthew, the spirit indeed is willing. We're willing to serve God, but yet Satan's spirit is sometimes so strong, it says, but the flesh is weak. And that's the evil spirit working inside of our flesh. Today we're going to be talking about heeding to Satan's temptation. But before we do that, we'll start with an opening word of prayer, and then a couple songs. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this morning, for an opportunity to serve you, to look into your word another time, to see what you have written down for our learning and for our strength. Be with each one here inside this morning and the ones that are listening outside or the ones that are going to be listening later on online. Be with each one. Give us strength that we can heed to Satan's, not heed to Satan's temptation, that we can heed to the Holy Spirit instead, and that we can follow God's way. Please be with us, Lord, and give us strength, and allow us to have an open mind this morning when your word is being spoken. Be with each one of us here this morning, in thy precious name. Amen. We'll have two songs at this time.
In the blue hymnal, page 26, in my heart there rings a melody, page 26.
A melody of love. 64. Springs of Living Water, 64.
As I already had in my opening, we're going to talk about temptation, or about saying no to temptation. I have a little story about a man named Mark Anthony. He was a brilliant man, strong leader in Rome, and a courageous soldier. But he said there was one thing that he lacked, was the strength to say no to temptation. On the outside, he was an impressive and magnificent, but on the inside, he was weak and vulnerable. When it comes to temptation, many are like that when he was a little boy, got a spanking for eating cookies the mother had told him to get away from. The little boy blamed his friend who told him to do it. It's okay. The mother said you should have turned a deaf ear to him. The little boy said, but mommy, I don't have a deaf ear. Can you identify with that little boy? Is it not true that many of us have a deaf ear when it comes to temptation? We're going to talk about another man that had trouble with temptation, and his name is David. We know David very well because of a few Bible stories in the Bible. David also wrote quite a few Psalms in the Bible because of the trials and tribulations and temptations that he went through. David's the little boy or the young man that killed Goliath because he believed that the Lord would help him. That's what got him the strength, gave him the strength to do exactly what others thought couldn't do. But later on in life, he was tempted again, and he fell weak at the knees. We'll find that in 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 to 5. 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 to 5. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and required after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Here we see David made himself very vulnerable for temptation. First of all, he shouldn't have been home. He should have gone off to war, but he chose to stay home. Second of all, when he went out on his rooftop, he walked again right into temptation. Then seeing this beautiful woman, he went and asked to go get her. That just made the temptation that much more tempting. He was just digging a deeper hole for himself. And if that hole wasn't deep enough, then she had reported back that she was expecting a child with him. Now what? He got himself into a real messy situation, and it doesn't stop there. He thought he could fix it by getting rid of Bathsheba's husband, so he did. But instead of fixing the problem, he dug himself yet a deeper hole, made the problem bigger. This is how Satan works. Yet he deceives us by thinking that we can handle the situation ourselves and fixing it, and yet it gets worse. Do we sometimes feel that way, that we got ourselves into a situation that we just don't know how to get out of? That is how Satan works. He tempts us to the point, hoping that we will give in to temptation. The temptation isn't wrong, but if we heed to temptation, then it becomes sin. Acts 13:22, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." David loved God. We see that in this verse. But he became weak at the knees when Satan attacked him with temptation of lusting after a woman. Satan knows very well where our weaknesses are. So when we are at our low point, he will attack us in the weakest spot of our life, that thorn in the side of our flesh. We need to learn to put in godly thoughts into our mind to push out the ungodly desires that Satan likes to put into our mind. The more time we spend in our Bible reading and memorizing scripture, the less room there is for Satan to put ungodly thoughts into our mind. One thing that I've learned is if we shut off all our electronics half an hour or an hour before we go to bed and take time for God to meditate and read God's word, then Satan has a tougher time to enter into our minds, especially while we're sleeping. Because David had his heart tuned in with God, therefore, when Nathan rebuked him, he did the right thing and repented for his sins. But we also know he had to pay the consequences for those sins. He did not get away scot-free. That child that he had with Bathsheba died, and also his other children lived a sinful life because of the sin he had committed. So, dear friends, let's not take sin lightly. There will be consequences for our actions. James 1:14-15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let's think about it long and hard when temptations come our way. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to move us in the right direction. James 4:7-8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So now we're going to look at another man that actually ran away from temptation. Not like David kind of got himself into a situation, into temptation. We're going to talk about a man now that ran away from one. And his name is Joseph. Genesis 39:7-23. Genesis 39:7-23 reads as follows. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wrought not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hands. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, and that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I think this is an incredible story. I don't know exactly how old Joseph would have been at this time, but he was 17 years old when he got sold into Egypt by his brothers. I think this took place shortly after that, so he was a very young man at the time. At that age, I could just imagine how vulnerable he was. It would have been very easy to lust after a woman that he had been seduced by. So we can see when he was tempted and ran away so quickly and so fast that he even left his coat there, that he was very close and intimate with God and loved him very much to walk away from a temptation like that, especially at that age. Are we that strong? That's a question we can ask ourselves. Are we that intimate and that close with God? 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? But ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And 2 Timothy 2:22 also states, flee also useful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Take note, a pure heart. This is the only way we can flee temptation. We can also see from verse 21 that if we are obeying and loving the Lord is with us. He says he showed mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He was with Joseph every step of the way because he did not sin. He ran away from temptation. Let's remember, temptation alone is not sin. It's only if we heed to temptation. That's when it becomes sin. We all probably know the story of Joseph well enough that God is with him throughout the whole time because Joseph was faithful and never wavered from his faith with God. Later on, we know that Joseph, when he came out of prison, which was a number of years later, that he became leader of the country or became one of the upper men. James 1, 12 to 18. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So the question for us today is, how do we come to this point that we can overcome temptation? We're going to go through a few points that hopefully will help you next time you are tempted. The first point, be conscious of God's provision to help you in any tempted situation. In other words, be aware of the situation that you're in at the moment. You must remember that if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength, you are well equipped to overturn any temptation. You must be conscious that in every tempted situation, you have what it takes to stand and overcome the situation. Discover the way out of every temptation that comes towards you. Temptation that come to you are permitted by God. He knows you can't fall. If you fall, it's your fault. You need to be conscious of your strength in Christ. If you walk in ignorance, the devil will shortchange you. God always has the upper hand of Satan, and that we should always remember. Don't get this wrong, what I just said. Satan does the tempting. God does not do the tempting. But God allows Satan to tempt us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 to 14. There has no temptations taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In other words, any idols, anything that's important to us, we need to flee from that. We need to walk away from it. The second point, take heed to God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you fall when tempted, your strength is small. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So we need to build up our strength by heeding to God's word. Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. And Psalms 19, verses 9 to 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. That's a very familiar passage. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's right here, his word, that I may not sin against thee. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Third point, pray for strength. Jude 1, 20 to 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Fourth, forego self-gratification. In other words, get rid of me, myself, and I. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There should be no thoughts or plans to satisfy our self-desires. That is contrary to the expectations of a Christian character. Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Find it interesting, warning against the law of my mind. A lot of things are put into our mind because we put them there, and then it's engraved there, and it's very hard to get it out. That's where our habits come from, some good, some bad. But once we start lusting after things or doing different things or saying different words, expressions, that's engraved in our mind, and it's very hard to get it out. It takes a matter of days to get it engraved, to create a habit, and it takes 2 to 5 years or longer to break that habit. So let's remember that. The fifth, grow in spiritual maturity. 2 Timothy 2:19-22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel upon honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Believers must work hard to purify themselves. Sixth point, surround yourselves with other believers in Christ. This is important, that we make friendship with other believers that believe in Christ, because then we can mentor one another and help each other out and encourage one another. Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Seventh point, resist the devil. Whatever you don't confront, you won't conquer. Whatever you don't resist has a right to remain. Whatever you don't want in your life, you must replace with good. I'm going to repeat that again. Whatever you don't confront, you won't conquer. Whatever you don't resist has a right to remain. Whatever you don't want in your life, you must replace with good. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The eighth point, run away from dangerous spots. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. I know some people have a very difficult time with this one. I hear people say, why can't I enjoy my life? What? Can I do what I want to do? I think if our heart is in the right place, we want to do what God wants us to do, not what our sinful nature wants us to do. We have changed and truly changed our life. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So those are 8 points that I've shared with you. Hopefully will help you walk away from temptation next time you are tempted. But I want to sum this message up with Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. And it talks about the armor of God. We probably all know this passage quite well. And I think even Jonathan shared some of it last Sunday as well in his message, because it fits in very well to put on the whole armor of God in our life. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to go through lightly the armor of God. And the first one is the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the first element of the armor of God. In the ancient world, a soldier's belt not only kept his armor in place, but if wide enough, protected his kidneys and other vital organs. In the same way, the truth protects us. Practically applied, you must say the belt of truth holds up the spiritual pants so that we're not exposed and vulnerable. So if anyone knows what the belt is, the belt goes on first and all the armor is clipped or placed onto the belt when they go out to war. So if you don't put on the belt, all the armor falls off. You need to have the belt on. So like it is with the truth. If we don't have the word of God, which is the truth, everything else will fall apart. So we need to hold on to the truth, which is the word of God. Breastplate of righteousness. Our heart is susceptible to the wickedness of this world, but our protection is the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. We cannot become righteous through our own good works. When Jesus died on the cross, his righteousness was credited to all who believe in him through justification. Gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is our protection, reminding us that it is by grace that our souls are saved. Fitting our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace is described in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in all our hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope, of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Sharing the gospel of salvation ultimately brings peace between God and man. Then we have the shield of faith. No defensive armor was as important as the shield. It fended off arrows, spears, and swords. Our shields of faith guards us against one of the Satan's deadliest weapons, which is doubt. Satan likes to put doubt into our mind. Let's be careful of the temptations. And then the next armor is helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects the head, where all thoughts and knowledge reside. John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The helmet of salvation to protect our thoughts and minds is a crucial piece of armor. We cannot survive without it. Sword of the Spirit, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Satan's tactics have not changed. So the sword of the Spirit, which is in the Word of God, is still our best defense. Then we have the power of prayer. Finally, Paul adds the power of prayer to the armor of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Paul states that we should pray for others as well. With the armor of God and gift of prayer, we can be ready for whatever the enemy throws at us. Amen. But because we're talking about the power of prayer, I do have a prayer request that we can all take home today. And that is for one of the members or for one of the people that come here quite often, quite regularly, for Leonard Brown. He had a stroke a little while ago. And he is in hospital. He might be to the point where he might be getting home now soon. But let's keep him in our prayers, that God will heal him and recover, that he can recover from this stroke. And not only him, but many others that need our prayers. We know that we have been at home and we've been self-isolating or whatever it may be because of this COVID. We all need prayers because we need each other. And let's just pray for our church family through this time and through times to come. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you very much for allowing us to come to listen to this service. I thank you very much, Lord, for your word that we can instill into our hearts and into our minds, that it will give us strength to overcome temptation. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, that you can be with us at all times, and that you will give us the strength to overpower Satan's temptations when he is tempting us. Please with us as we go from here and as we go live our life, that you will be with us at all times. Be with our church family, with our Sunday school, even though they haven't been having Sunday school lately, but be with them to give them strength. And that we can use this time that to strengthen ourselves, to read your word, to build our relationship with you, that we will be that much stronger when we come back and be a family again. Be with us and give us all strength in thy precious name. Amen. We'll have a couple more songs at this time.
The Blue Hymnal, page 223. He will answer every prayer. 223.
Mother.
fitting songs, especially the one, He will answer every prayer. Let's go to Him in prayer, and He will answer us every prayer. Maybe sometimes it's not quite the way we think it should be answered, but He is answering every prayer. At this time, I have nothing more to bring to you other than one announcement. Well, just a note. We will be meeting as ministerial again this week, maybe as board, just to see what will happen next week with the restrictions that we have. And so we'll take 1 week at a time. And hopefully soon we can have more people in church. So at this time, I want to close with a benediction, taking it out of Jude. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, to glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. May you now go in the peace of the Lord. Be careful. God is always watching. Thank you.